Cornerstone Christian Fellowship, we are glad you're here. We're going to have a little fun this morning, as well as learn something about our faith and our Bible. I'm happy to have the kids in here today, and I think it's very important. Yesterday, we spent the day with our family. He's from Georgia. Would you say, no doubt, Georgia Bulldogs? Do you have a? How's it go?
Go Dawgs!
A gator. And we do this. Yeah. Okay. Is this SEC?
Yes, sir.
SEC? Oh my gosh! And we have. Michigan. All right. Interesting. Now we have the Fighting Irish up here too. So my brother-in-law, he's been a lot of places, but I don't think he'd been to the campus of Notre Dame. So we spent the afternoon on the campus of Notre Dame yesterday. Didn't get in the Basilica because they were having a wedding, but we did get in the Golden Dome. We went to the Grotto, various places. It was pretty amazing. Touchdown Jesus. He wasn't aware of Touchdown Jesus there. Got to see that firsthand. We walked by the football stadium, and we couldn't get in. It was locked, but it did look like maybe there was a person there bringing kind of this young guy through, and we kind of made up our own imaginative story. Looks like there's some recruiting going on there. He had come up and unlocked the gate, and they were talking about the football field or something, and so we had a little joke about recruiting. Who gets the better recruiting, Georgia or Notre Dame? And he did give the bookstore lady a little reminder of the Notre Dame-Georgia football game last season. So stopped her cold for a minute. She was just telling us about Notre Dame, and he said, yeah, something about, we had a tough time with Georgia or whatever, and she just froze just for a second. It was kind of funny, actually. We enjoyed it. We had a good team. Recruiting is big money, big time. Recruiting between, Florida, Notre Dame, Georgia, Alabama, man, I mean, you're fighting over the elite athletes of this nation and maybe beyond even, to get them to make a choice for you, to choose your program, really. And what goes into that is absolutely mind-boggling, the issues and the money and the persuasion to get an athlete to choose for your university. Similar conversation happens in our faith, and it has been written about, it has been talked about, it has been argued about forever. Did you choose Jesus, or did Jesus choose you onto his team? What happened? Did you choose him, or did he choose you? We're learning about that. We're in the upper room discourse. And let me tell you, that's not an easy debate. That's not an easy discussion. There are sides drawn over that discussion. Let me read one verse to you, and because the kids are in with us today, I'm going to be using the NLT, but Mark will have a scripture up later. When you see Romans 8:30 come up near the end, I'm going to ask you to read that with us from the screen. But listen to this verse. John chapter 15, really hours before Jesus is arrested, Jesus says this: you didn't choose me. I chose you. I appointed you to go and produce lasting fruit so that the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. You didn't choose me. I chose you. And I chose you with purpose. I chose you with something to do. I anointed you. You're to go and bear fruit. But you didn't choose me. I chose you. In chapter 17, verse 20, Jesus will broaden this out. And he just says, you know what, Father, I'm not just praying for these people here. I'm praying for all those in time future who will believe through their word that we'll all be united and all be one. We're all on the same team. These promises are for everybody. You didn't choose Jesus. Jesus chose you. Now there's purpose in this. Obviously in John it's fruit, it's change, it's multiplying and maturing. There's purpose. This gives us purpose that he chose us. Notre Dame will choose athletes, and Bama and the Dogs and the Gators will choose. There's purpose. They want this type of person. There's choice. It gives us purpose in our choosing. In Ephesians chapter 1, I'm going to read this passage to you, and I really just want you to listen. This is an amazing passage. I'm going to read 10 verses, and I really just want you to let this soak in just for a minute. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4. Even before he made the world, God loved us and chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault in his eyes. God decided in advance to adopt us into his own family by bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ. This is what he wanted to do, and it gave him great pleasure. So we praise God for the glorious grace he has poured out on us who belong to his dear Son. He is so rich in kindness and grace that he purchased our freedom with the blood of his Son and forgave us our sins. He has showered his kindness on us along with all wisdom and understanding. God has now revealed to us his mysterious plan regarding Christ, a plan to fulfill his good pleasure. And this is the plan. At the right time, he will bring everything together under the authority of Christ, everything in heaven and on earth. Furthermore, we are united with Christ. We've received an inheritance from God, for he chose us in advance, and he makes everything work out according to his plan. Pretty clear, over and over and over and over. He chose us. This is great news right here. Listen, he chose us to be holy and without blame, to be faultless before him. He chose you. You need to know that. He chose you, and because he chose you with the purpose of bearing fruit, and he chose you to be faultless and without blame before him because of what Jesus has done. Wherever you're sitting today, whatever you've done, whatever you did last night, whatever you did last month, we will stand before him faultless, without blame, and we have purpose. You have purpose because of what Jesus Christ has done. I like this part here in verse 5 when it says, God decided in advance to adopt us into his own family by bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ. We have family. You have a new family now. He chose you and gave you a new family now, a family of believers, a family of those in Christ. And the whole purpose was just to bring him to himself. I don't know if you've ever thought about this. Sometimes we focus so much on this sin. Jesus died on the cross to forgive us our sin. And you know why he forgives us our sin? Because he wants to bring us to himself. That's the whole point. I've got to get those people to me. I love them, and I can't get them to me unless they're forgiven and washed of their sin. God is trying to get us to himself, and he chooses us, and he wipes us clean, faultless, pure before him to get him to himself. We're adopted. We're his family. This is an amazing gospel. This is amazing good news. Now here's the point. This is a very difficult teaching for a lot of people. That I could be chosen. That I don't have to be so good. That I don't have to somehow live up. This is very difficult. Men have written book upon book upon book, argued from sides, and there are some big theological words being tossed about. Arminian, Calvinist, sovereignty of God, free will of man. I mean, this is deep theological stuff that men have written volumes on for centuries. Good news for us is we don't need to write books when we have wiffle ball bats. Why would you write a book when you can play wiffle ball? I don't want to read a whole book. I just want to play wiffle ball. So I need some help. I need some help. Oliver, come up out of your dugout, man. Oliver, come on up here. All right. You are the red captain. Skylar, come on, man. You are the gold captain. All right. Now these guys are both good ball players. I know a little bit of something about them. So let's just say that we're going to have a pool party at June and Eldon's here in a couple weeks, and we may just break into a wiffle ball game. You are the captains of these two teams. And what I'm going to do now is, looking out over your prospects, we're going to pick three people. The first three people on your teams, you're going to be the captain. You're going to pick right now. We're going to take turns, and you're going to pick who's going to be on your team. Wiffle ball, think wiffle ball, big game, lot on the line, your name, your reputation, your future, everything on the line here. So, Oliver, look out over these candidates, and you have first pick. Who is your best home run hitter, bro? Harry, come on up, come on up. Nice call. Now, before you settle on Harry, did you know he's a White Sox fan? That is not the Cubs right there. That is the one. Okay, come on up, Harry. Skyler, your call, man. Your call. Matt. What? Does Bama have a baseball team? All right, Oliver, your turn, man. It's a big game. It's a big game. A lot on the line. Kim? Hey? Nice. Nice. All right. Skylar, your pick. Oh, we got some coaching going on here. John. Okay, all right. Superman. We got Superman in the house. All right, Oliver, your turn. One more pick. This will be the core of your team. Peyton. Whoa. Sweet call. Yes, sir. High school athlete. Awesome. All right, Skylar, one more pick. Your core of your gold team. Henry, Big Henry. Whoa, Babe Ruth coming on up. Yeah. He's got some home runs in him. All right. Now let's just go one more thing here. Oliver, what made you pick these guys right here? Why did you pick Harry? Okay, all right. And what made you pick Peyton there? He's strong. He's strong. Let me ask you a question. Why didn't you pick a girl? We're playing softball here. Why didn't you pick like your cousin Audrey, or why didn't you pick Felicity or Becky or June? Why'd you pick these guys? All right. Well, you think about that. It'll help you be a good husband someday if you can learn how to answer that. All right. What are you thinking, Skylar? When you pick like Matt and these big guys, what do you think? Why didn't you pick? Well, why didn't you pick Becky? Is there a skill set here you're looking for?
I have standards.
Okay. I got you. All right. So here's one more choice. After the wiffle ball game, we're going to have a cookout, and you need to pick someone who can cook the best blueberry pie, the best dessert. Who would you pick to be your dessert captain? Patsy, sweet. Patsy. All right, who's your dessert captain? Who's going to make your favorite dessert after the game? Audrey? Audrey's your dessert captain. Sweet. All right. So there's your dessert captain. She's a great dessert maker, and she is an amazing young cook. And there's your dessert captain. You're not playing wiffle ball. You're cooking. But you're on the team. That's pretty cool, Patsy. Congratulations.
Yeah,
I'd say. So here's the two teams for our wiffle ball championship. Are you getting that? Are you with me? And there were skill sets involved here, and big, strong men and talent. And then there was this cooking thing. And that's amazing. All right, have a seat. Thank you. I appreciate your help. We're going to have a wiffle ball game. That's cool.
I am chosen!
Woo, doggies! Thank you, sir. See, we don't need to write books. We just need to have kids pick teams. They were choosing based on skill sets, based on jobs to be done. They doesn't mean they didn't pick someone, didn't mean they didn't want someone there, and there will be others chosen later, but they chose that core. They chose specific people that could hit the ball, that could play wiffle ball, that could do the job. Pick them first. There'll be others picked later. Picked a lady that couldn't hit a wiffle ball, but she can make dessert. Picked Audrey, didn't pick her to play wiffle ball, picked her to make dessert. And that's how sometimes when we look at this whole idea of being chosen, God chooses us. And this particular thought, this particular word of choosing, it means to speak out. You called out, just like they did. They said, you. There is a skill set. There are jobs to do. It says we're going to bear fruit. There's purpose. Some of you are going to play wiffle ball. And some of you are going to bake dessert. And it's all going to be in a different time frame, how he's going to choose and when he's going to choose. But leave no doubt, the Bible says very clearly, you did not choose me. I chose you. I have purpose. There's direction. You're going to be faultless. You're going to be on the team. You can't do wrong. And you have a new family. It's a new team. It gives us some good principles of how God chooses people. I don't know who they're going to choose later. We get to that game. We get to that day. I don't know who's going to be on the team later. But I do know some that are chosen right away to do a specific deed, a specific roles, and others doing other roles. It's an amazing doctrine of choosing, Now here's what's amazing and maybe more difficult for some of you. Some of you, I love this right now because I'm looking out over you and I see the wheels turning already. Some, I can almost tell by looking at you who's in favor and who's not. Now I'm going, what? No. So here's going to make this even more amazing or more difficult for you. That's in Ephesians here. It very clearly says this. God decided in advance to adopt us into his own family by bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ. Listen, this is what he wanted to do, and it gave him great pleasure. And it gave him great pleasure. He wanted to choose. He wanted to look out over humanity. And he wanted to pick specific people for certain jobs. And it gave him great pleasure to do that. He loved choosing his team. So, you're here today. And you've been chosen. You are a follower of Jesus Christ. I want you to know this. It gave him great pleasure to choose you on his team. It wasn't like, man, maybe I hope they get a little better. Man, I hope, man, I don't know, Jesus. Should we pick him? Hey, Holy Spirit, help me out here. What? It's like Matt rubbing his shoulders like, come on, it's over here. It didn't happen that way. God loved picking you on his team. It gave him great pleasure to see you pray that prayer, humble your heart, confess the blood of Jesus. He said, yes, I've chosen another one, and look at him. He is so happy to be on the team. Look at her. It gave him pleasure to choose you. If you're a believer, you need to know this. You pleased the God of heaven when you were on his team. This is an amazing, amazing passage of Scripture. He wanted to purchase your freedom and forgive your sins. You've been trying so hard to work, to earn it, to live up to it. Oh, I hope God... He said, no, I want to forgive your sins. I want you to be clean and spotless and faultless. I want you to come to me. The door's open. Walk through it. I love you. Come on. Gave him great pleasure to purchase your freedom. In verse 8 it says this. In verse 7, he is so rich. Listen, this is our God. This is our Father. This is our Heavenly Father. He is so rich in kindness and grace that he purchased our freedom with the blood of his Son and forgave us our sins. He has showered us in kindness with all wisdom and understanding. He's so rich in grace, so rich he purchased us. He has enough money to purchase us. So rich in grace, so rich in kindness. I remember, Terry, remember when the kids were all at home? Girls, I have a real opportunity for you here. Do you remember what it would take to get the boys to take a shower sometime? It's yours now. It works now. I think Andrew lived in a pair of Carhartts. I think he got up. I think he slept in them. I think he hunted in him. I think he crawled in his bed in him. He smelled like dead animal. I mean, it was like, Andrew, aren't you going to take a shower? Listen. Our Heavenly Father had great pleasure in choosing us, and he is rich enough to buy our freedom, to forgive our sins. He's the only one with enough money to do that. It wasn't money, it was blood. And he showers us. Just picture yourself under the shower head, showering us. He wants to do that for us. He showers us with kindness and with wisdom and understanding. Now here's what I need you to know. I need you to look at this verse, and I need you to know that God showers you with two things. Kindness and love that touches our heart. You are loved. And He showers you with wisdom and understanding, so we also engage our mind. Our relationship with Jesus Christ is not one of heart only, and it's not one of mind only. It's with our whole self. He showers us with all wisdom and understanding, so you can understand His Word, you can understand your Father, you can know Him, and you can love Him at the same time. And that's a relationship. That's called a relationship. That's how I know my wife. I know her, I understand her some, and I love her with all my heart. That's a relationship, isn't it? And He has showered us with that, and He enjoys it. He's not leaving us out there on our own. Okay, I choose you, now just, I don't know what. He's showering us with kindness and love. It's such great pleasure to do that. You need to know that's your Heavenly Father. He has chosen you for purpose and for His pleasure. And that begs the question. That begs the question, doesn't it? There it is. Begs the question. Well, if He chose us, what about them? What about them? And what about them? If He chose us, I mean, we're chosen. What about the unchosen? Did He reject them? Well, thankfully we have moms and dads and parents and kids here, and they can all vouch for me on this. Sometimes mom and dad tells said kids, hey, I need you to, when you get home from school, no, better yet, here we go. The game is on. The game's on TV. And mom and dad says, hey, Peyton, I need you to mow the lawn. And Peyton says, Mom, the game is on. I'm watching. What about Kelly? Why can't Kelly mow the lawn? Sometimes mom and dad would say, hey, when you get home from school today, do this, 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 and this. And hey, Mom, that's going to take like 4 hours. What about her? What's she got to do? Why do I have to do that? Have you ever heard that? If you're a parent here, have you ever heard anything like this before? Yes, 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 yes. Okay, all over the room, parents are. And I used to do it as a kid myself. Hey, why do I have to do this? Right? What about... And parents, what was your answer? Because I said so. Because I said so. Yep. Sometimes you would say, because I said so, don't worry about them. I'll take care of them. You do what I told you to do. Right? Is that close? What would you do? What would you do if I said that was Jesus' answer to us? When we say, well, if I'm chosen, what about them? What would you do if I said that's what Jesus says to us? Don't worry about them. You do what I told you to do. I'll take care of them. Listen as I read. So Jesus is talking to Peter, and he says this. I tell you the truth, Peter, when you were young, you were able to do as you liked. You dressed yourself, you went wherever you wanted to go. But when you're old, you'll stretch out your hands, and others will dress you and take you where you don't want to go. Jesus said this to let him know by what kind of death he would glorify God. Then Jesus said, "Follow me." And Peter turned around, and he saw behind them the disciple Jesus loved. Now that would be John. The one who had leaned over to Jesus during supper and asked, "Hey Lord, who will betray you?" And Peter asked Jesus, as Peter and Jesus are having this talk, and he says, "Yeah, when you get older, you know, people are going to pick you up and take you where you want and this and that, but I want you to follow me, Peter." And Peter says, "Well, what about him? What about John?" And Jesus replied, "If I want him to remain alive until I return, what is that to you? As for you, follow me." So the rumor spread among the community of believers that this disciple wouldn't die. But that isn't what Jesus said at all. He only said, "If I want him to remain alive until I return, what business is that of yours?" He gave Peter the same answer. "Don't worry about him. I've got this. You do what I told you to do." And that's our answer for this idea of chosen. You and I just need to settle into this fact that we were chosen by him before the foundation of the world, and he gave us purpose, he gave us family, he gave us purity, and it gave him great pleasure. It is pleasing him highly that you're on his side. You're on his team. Wear his colors proudly. Brag about him. These guys are free to talk about the Gators and the Dogs and the Tide and the these guys are free to talk about their team. Talk about your team. Talk about your captain. Talk about your Lord. Fly the flag. Yell at the top of your lungs. It pleased him to pick you on his team and to wash you pure. To wash you pure. Chosen is good. Chosen is great. Let me read a bit of an article to you. When Sarah was diagnosed with advanced breast cancer, my wife began to bring her soup. We would visit her whenever we could. One of the treatments had taken a horrible turn. Dark side effects landed Sarah in the psych ward. She looked at me that afternoon from her hospital bed almost without recognition, with deep pain in her eyes. And I reminded her of the care of her church family and the love of Christ for her. A tear rolled down her cheek and she whispered, "Guilty. Guilty." I knew that Sarah needed bedrock gospel truth under her feet, so I turned to Romans 8 and I began to read to her. Mark has Romans chapter 8, verse 30. And I'd like to read this together. Let's begin to read. "And those whom he predestined, he also called. And those whom he called, he also justified. And those whom he justified, he also glorified." Seems like he's chosen. Seems like the destination is mapped out. I knew Sarah needed bedrock gospel truth under her feet, so I turned to Romans 8 and began to read to her. "There's therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus." Her eyes flashed with recognition. I continued to read until I got to verse 30. And then an amazing thing happened. Sarah was crying out the words of Romans 8:30 with me, like a drowning woman holding on to a life preserver. We both exclaimed those precious promises out loud in the stark and sterile room, tears streaming down our faces. "And those whom he predestined, he called. And those whom he called, he justified. And those whom he justified, he glorified. at that moment, neither of us was arguing for the doctrine of God's absolute sovereignty over salvation. We were exulting in our election. Sarah could not hold on to God in her darkest hour, but she knew He was holding on to her. Amen. Chosen is good. Chosen is God's. It's His great pleasure to call us, to grab us, to hold us in our darkest hour. Whatever we walk through, it is His pleasure to forgive us and to hold us right there as adopted children with an inheritance, with His Spirit, coming to Him because of the blood of Jesus Christ. Our God is good. It is good. I think we have a song. Would you sing a song for us? Do you have a closing song? That would be good. That would be good. That would be real good. What's the name of our song?
Jesus Messiah.
Jesus Messiah. Name above all names?
He became sin. He knew no sin.
Your God is good.